Greetings to all of you here this morning. In the name of Jesus, our precious Savior, the one who has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. As I think about the events of this past week and Javen's death, and I can only think about what Job said after his terrible day. Job 1 verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, it is good for us today to come and worship, even though we've experienced this in our congregation. Psalm 95. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Again, there's a call to worship. God's greatness is in focus. His dominion, he's the king above all gods. The strength of the hills is his. The sea is his. We can't comprehend that. In fact, he made it. And then he says that we are the people of his pasture. We're God's sheep. And that's what I would to consider this morning for a message. The good shepherd and his sheep is what I've chosen to do. You can turn with me to John 10. Book of Gospel of John. Let me just start reading verse 1 and we'll read to verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As a father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I think most of us are familiar with this parable and Jesus' explanation of it. So I'd like to consider first characteristics of the Good Shepherd. And I have seven characteristics here from this passage. The first one is that the Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And you can see that in verse 11 and verse 17. Both mention that. He gives his life. He also lays down his life. So I think there's two aspects there. One is that he gives his life. His life is dedicated to the care of the sheep. And also, we know that Jesus is the good shepherd. He says that here, I am the good shepherd. And he laid down his life. He actually laid down his life for his sheep, for us, when he died on the cross. The second characteristic is that the good shepherd has been given authority. And he's been given power. And you can see that in verse 17 and 18. When Jesus talks of the love that his Father has for him, because he was willing to do this, because he was willing to lay down his life for the sheep, and then he speaks about the power that he has as well. This power to lay it down, to lay his life down, and the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The good shepherd has authority. He has power. Another characteristic is that he prepares for the sheep. Verse 16, I think of this especially, though you can notice it in other verses as well, but he's saying there that he's talking about the other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Them also must I bring. There should be one fold and one shepherd. He's preparing for the sheep. He prepares for them. And we see that he is planning ahead in the future to bring more sheep into his fold. And we also see that he has prepared in the fact that there is a fold, and that he is the door, and that there is pasture. And that goes to the next characteristic, in that he provides for the sheep. In verse 9, he says that if any man enter into the door, he's talking about, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And there we see that provision. Sheep need pasture. They need grass. And Jesus says, I provide that for my sheep. Sheep need water. And they need a fold. They need a place of protection. And Jesus provides all of that for the sheep. In verse 10, this reveals too his intention. As he comes, and he has prepared before he comes, he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He's providing for us, providing life. The next one is that he protects the sheep. And look at verse 7 and 8. He talks there about the thieves and the robbers. He's the door. He's the one that is there between his sheep and the danger. And of course, the door is how to get into the sheepfold. It's the only way in. And in that fold, there's protection from thieves and from bad weather and from predators. Another characteristic is that he leads the sheep in verse 4. This is the picture of the shepherd coming to the sheepfold, say in the morning, and in this case, probably, since there was a porter, the porter was the one that kept the door, and it was probably a fold that more than one shepherd used, and so there was several flocks of sheep in the fold and several shepherds. But when the good shepherd came in the morning, his sheep, when he it says he putteth forth his own sheep and goeth before them, he leads them. And there's another verse here in John 10. It says that, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So he leads his sheep. And, of course, that is right in connection with the fact that he calls his sheep as well. He calls his sheep. And then the last one is that he is with the sheep, and he knows them. And verse 14 and verse 4 both bring that to our minds. Verse 4 says, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He's going before them, he's with them, and he knows them, and they know him. And then verse 14, I'm the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Those are characteristics of the good shepherd. Now, I'd like to look now at characteristics of the sheep. And these I've gleaned from several sources. And those of you who work with sheep will recognize some of these things and probably even consider or think of some other things as well. But one of the characteristics of sheep is that they are dependent on the shepherd, dependent for food and for water. They're dependent on them for protection. They're dependent on them for shearing, taking care of their wool. Sheep also have a gentle disposition, mostly. They are social animals, but they don't like to be crowded, but they are social animals. They like to be with other sheep. One sheep by itself doesn't do very well. Sheep are easily frightened. They're timid animals, timid creatures. Sheep can be trained. As I talked before about them following the shepherd, responding to the shepherd's call, and they can also be trained to stand quietly. One source mentioned that. Stand quietly. Sheep thrive under careful care, regular feeding, the shepherd providing them with their needs, their mineral needs, and salt, the shepherd providing for their health in dealing with things that afflict them, like flies, parasites, taking care of their feet. And last of all is that sheep are grazers. They are animals that can live off grass. And when they are well fed, they lay down. And because they're ruminants, they lay down and they chew their cud. And they can live off grass, unlike people. They can thrive on good grass. So those are some characteristics of sheep. Now I would like to turn to Psalm 23. And for the third part of the message here is simply this thought. Sheep may safely graze and pasture in a watchful shepherd's sight. And Psalm 23 is perhaps the most familiar, certainly probably the most familiar psalm and perhaps the most loved psalm, one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. And in looking at some thoughts written about this psalm, it was interesting to me that one writer said, well, he thinks maybe David wrote this when he was young, when he was a shepherd boy. So maybe this is one of David's first songs. I don't know. I mean, someday we can find that out. But we know that David was a shepherd and had experience with sheep, taking care of sheep. But in this psalm, we see that he uses that to give his own testimony about his life and about the Lord. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's the first thing that we want to think of. Sheep may safely graze in pasture in a watchful shepherd's care. The Lord is my shepherd. There's a personal relationship with the shepherd. And think of this now in these verses, in the first three verses, think of the shepherd or of the sheep giving a testimony. And he's giving this testimony, or he's doing a little bragging, you might say, to a neighboring sheep that's in a neighboring pasture, has a different shepherd. And he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. That's his testimony. There's a direct connection with the one. I wanted to say here before I start into this that I'm not going to be able to make all the parallels and make all the connections, but I will give what the Lord has given me here, and you probably make some connections that I won't. So the Lord is my shepherd, and thinking about the direct connection that we can have. The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have a direct connection with the one that Colossians 1:12 speaks about, that it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And we could read more verses in Colossians 1:12-20 that speak about Jesus and the place that God has given him, his majesty and his power. So if the Lord is my shepherd, then as his sheep, I will have a mark that I'm his sheep, that he is my shepherd, that I belong to him. The earmark of the shepherd was a cut, a piece of the ear that was cut away. And that marked the sheep as his own. It could be from a distance, you could see that the sheep belonged to a certain flock, to a certain shepherd. So the question comes, do I carry the mark of the Lord Jesus? What is the mark of the Lord Jesus on my life? Can men tell that you love Jesus? Can men tell that I belong to Jesus and not to the world? What do they see? What is the mark of Christ on my life? You can turn with me to Galatians 2:20. There's two verses here in Galatians that I want to read, thinking of this. And maybe someone could quote this by memory. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wonderful testimony. And then Paul, in the end of this letter, in chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 14, he says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And so I think that there is going to be something visible in our lives that identifies us with Christ and shows that we are not following the world, but we're following the Lord Jesus, and that we're his sheep. So he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that simply is, I shall have no lack. There's no lack of care. Because the Lord is my shepherd. Think about that sheep. He's giving his testimony to the neighboring sheep. I have no lack of care. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm content. I'm content with the care of the good shepherd. Because he is a diligent shepherd. He is diligent in seeking the welfare of his sheep. We read about in John 10 and in Psalm 121, verse 3, we have this thought, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. I shall not want. This is, the good shepherd is alert. He knows what needs the sheep have. Psalm 23 and verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. These two somewhat go together. But thinking about the green pastures, for a sheep to lie down in green pastures, there has to be four things. Four basic needs of the sheep must be met. There's four things. It must be free from all fear. It must be free from tension in the flock. It must be free from flies and parasites. And it must be free from hunger. And so you think about the green pastures. There's no fear of dogs and predators and thieves. The tension in the flock, We're familiar maybe with the pecking order, but in among sheep, it's not the pecking order, it's the budding order. And there can be tension in the flock. And the testimony of the one shepherd was that when there was budding going on that was disturbing the flock, it stopped when the shepherd was there. In the presence of the shepherd, the budding stopped. And the tension was gone. In the green pastures, the sheep can fill up quickly. There's plenty of grass. It's good grass. They fill up quickly, and then they lay down. And they rest, and they digest their food. And they grow and gain weight. It makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's a provision of clean water. Still waters perhaps is talking about the dew on the grass, the morning dew. And a shepherd that understands the value of the dew on the grass in the morning, the value of that to his sheep, will get up early and make sure that his sheep have access to that. Especially in dry times or dry country, the early grazing is important. The still water. And perhaps it may be to the deep wells. Water drawn out of the well and dumped into a trough. And the sheep can drink out of that. The third place that shepherds will obtain water, of course, is from springs and streams. And most of the time, there has to be some provision made for the sheep to be able to have access to those. And sheep don't like rushing water. And generally, they can't access that very well. So the shepherd has to make a spot where they can come and they can drink at the still water, and a place where they can come down to and have access. Sheep that are searching for water, that go searching for water and don't have a shepherd to lead them to the still water, the clean water, they won't discern. They'll just drink whatever they can find. And they'll drink water that's polluted, filthy water, to their detriment. So he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The sheep goes on with his testimony. He says here in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. And this is no doubt speaking of something that happens to sheep. It can happen to healthy sheep, old sheep, young sheep. It can happen to sheep all at all points of their lives and in all conditions. And that is the state of being cast, a cast sheep. There's reasons that sheep become cast. Three main reasons are they lying down in a soft spot, comfortable spot, where there's a rounded hollow in the ground. And they like to lie there, and the two other things are the heaviness of their wool can cause them to be cast, as well as the heaviness of their body. Even when a ewe is carrying lambs, or if a sheep becomes fat. I'll read here from a book I've gained a lot of information for this message from. It's A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. Some of you may be familiar with that. It's very worthwhile reading. But he says about the cast sheep, he says a heavy, fat, or long fleeced sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out or relax. Suddenly, the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. It may feel a sense of panic and start to paw frantically. Frequently, this only makes things worse. It rolls over even further. Now it is quite impossible for it to regain its feet. As it lies there struggling, gases begin to build up in the rumen. That's part of the sheep's stomach. As these expand, they tend to retard and cut off blood circulation to the extremities of the body, especially the legs. If the weather is very hot and sunny, a cast sheep can die in a few hours. If it is cool, and cloudy and rainy. It may survive in this position for several days. And he goes on to say that a shepherd is on the alert for this because he knows it can happen to any sheep. And he said that he goes on to describe a bit his own experience with his own flock. He said that this is part of the pageantry and drama depicted for us in the magnificent story of the 99 sheep with one astray. You remember the story that Jesus told? There is the shepherd's deep concern, his agonizing search, his longing to find the missing one, and his delight in restoring it, not only to its feet, but also to the flock, as well as to himself. He says, again and again, I would spend hours searching for a single sheep that was missing. Then, more often than not, I would see it at a distance, down on its back, lying helpless. At once, I would start to run toward it, hurrying as fast as I could, for every minute was critical. Within me, there was a mingled sense of fear and joy. Fear that it might be too late. Joy that it was found at all. As soon as I reached the cast ewe, my first impulse was to pick it up. Tenderly, I would roll the sheep over on its side. This would relieve the pressure of gases in the rumen. If she had been down for long, I would have to lift her onto her feet. Then, straddling the sheep with my legs, I would hold her erect, rubbing her limbs to restore the circulation to her legs. This often took quite a little time. When the sheep started to walk again, she often just stumbled, staggered, and collapsed in a heap once more. All the time I worked on the cast sheep, I would talk to it gently. When are you going to learn to stand on your own feet? I'm so glad I found you in time, you rascal. Little by little, the sheep would regain its equilibrium. It would start to walk steadily and surely. By and by, it would dash away to rejoin the others, set free from its fears and frustrations, given another chance to live a little longer. Psalm 116 has these words, and I think that it is in reflecting on this condition of a cast sheep. Psalm 116, verse 7, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep that are left to themselves ruin the land. From overgrazing, they'll kill the grass because they can bite so close that they can actually pull the roots out. Their paths, since they're creatures of habit, they use the same paths, and finally it becomes, they're rutted and eroded and ruins the land. Also, they since they will stay somewhat in the same area, the areas will become infested with parasites. So a shepherd needs to have a plan, a grazing plan for his sheep, in order for them to thrive and also for his land to thrive. A couple of verses in connection with this, thinking about sheep just going their own way. Remember Isaiah 53? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, our own habits and ways. The way that seems right unto a man, Proverbs 14:12. But the end thereof is the way of death. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way." Jesus, the good shepherd, is the way, the truth, and the life. And in Mark 8:34, "If any man will come after me," who can help me finish this? There's three things. If any man will come after me, what? Take up his cross, deny himself, and follow, right? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's the good shepherd. Back to Psalm 23, thinking of the next thought, and that is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Here, at this point in the psalm, there's a shift, and the sheep is no longer speaking to the neighbor. He's no longer bearing his testimony to the neighbor. He is now talking to the shepherd. He says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And in verse 5 as well, thou preparest a table before me. Thou anointest my head with oil. So on. He's speaking directly with the shepherd about this book by Philip Keller. He tells in that book that in the beginning of the psalm, it's focusing more on the care that the shepherd gives his sheep at home. But in the summertime, especially in the Middle East areas and places of Bible times where we think about the sheep and the shepherd, in the summertime, there would be a change in the grazing area. The shepherd would seek out the higher places, the hills, the hilltops. And the way to the hills, the way to the mountain meadows was through the valleys. You go through the valleys. And I think that's what's in focus here. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The valleys were the best way to reach the high mountain meadows because that's where the gentle grades were. That's where the sheep could move along. The sheep were not hurried through this on this trek, but they moved along slowly. The valleys is where the water was, where to find the water, and also the richest and best feed lay along the way. But in the valleys there was dangers because they weren't at home anymore. They weren't at home on the shepherd's farm, you might say. There was flash floods that could happen in the valleys. There was avalanches. Some valleys had steep sides, rock slides. There was poisonous plants along the way. Predators that lurked, waiting for weak and the small. And sometimes in the early spring, storms would come down from the mountains, bringing snow and sleet or hail. As the shepherd was making his way. But the good shepherd knows the way. He's been over it before. He knows the way, and he stays with his sheep. And there's many verses we could look at and think about God's presence. He says here, I will fear no evil. Even though the shadow of death, all the dangers are there, even though we're going through a difficult time, even though we're experiencing loss, thou art with me. The presence of God. Psalm 119, 151. Thou art near, O Lord. That's a promise that we can claim. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 20, I am with you always. And Hebrews 13, 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he says in addition to that, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me as I go through the valley. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod perhaps symbolizes the word of God, and the staff, the Holy Spirit. The shepherd's rod was an extension of his arm, not only as far as he could reach with it, but also as far as he could throw it. And he could discipline sheep with it, sheep that were moving off the side, going somewhere where they shouldn't. He could throw the rod, and it would land beside the sheep and direct it back. The staff represented the power of the shepherd. He was in charge. And it was a defense against danger, not only for the shepherd, but also for the sheep. Thinking about the staff was used for two things especially. One was to draw sheep together. And when there was a large flock of sheep and the lambs were just being born, a shepherd would use his staff. The staff had a hook on the end, and he would use that to lift the lamb and bring it close to his mother so that he didn't touch it with his hands, because that is the ewe may reject the lamb if she smelled the shepherd's scent on it. So he would use the rod to bring the lambs close to their mother, to bring them together. And he would use it to guide the sheep wherever they needed to go. And sometimes the writer Philip Keller in this book said that he observed a shepherd would be walking with his sheep, and there would be one sheep that the shepherd would just take his rod, and he would just put it up against his sheep. It was a comfort. The staff of the Holy Spirit, the comfort and the compassion and the drawing together and the guiding of the sheep. Well, the last part here, verse 5, again, these things, these points about preparing a table and anointing my head with oil, these especially have to do with summertime and the upper grazing pastures of the mountain meadows, the hilltops. Preparing a table. The shepherd goes before the sheep. He went early in the year and scouted out the place where he would take his sheep in the summer. And he would look for places where this would be a good place to camp the sheep for the night. Here's water. This pasture's over here. We're going to follow this route because the sheep have their needs. They need water. They need pasture. They need a place of protection. And he went and looked. He also looked for and took out poisonous plants, the ones that he knew were going to be poisonous. He would prepare that on ahead, and he would look for things that might be an obstacle in their path to move from one place to the next, and clear out the obstacles. So he would also go then just prior to his taking the sheep there, he would go back again and again scout that. Thou preparest a table before me. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This again was to do with the summertime. The writer in this book said that summertime was fly time and scab time for the sheep. And both of those, the sheep needed the help of the shepherd to overcome. The anointing with oil would help to keep the flies away, bring relief, and help to heal the scab that the sheep could pass from one sheep to the other if when they butted their heads. And sometimes a shepherd would need to dip the whole flock in a tank or a vat somewhere where he could dip the whole flock to treat them for the scab or the flies and the ticks. And it was especially difficult to try to get the head anointed in that vat. Most difficult thing was to get the head. But thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And the sheep, David sums it up here in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that's interesting to think. Those shepherds that have experience with sheep that are properly cared for and properly managed, they will bring blessing to land through the grazing. Sheep will eat some weeds that are harmful to the land or that are obnoxious to the land, but they will eat them. And behind them, there is a changing of the land. There's a changing from the manure that they bring to the land. And sheep often seek places to rest that are high. And so with the manure on the high spots, those nutrients would flow down to the rest of the land. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'd like to close with Psalm 27. Let's turn to that. I'm going to read a few verses here. This psalm in verse 4, David speaks about dwelling in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to read the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been mine help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, may this have been an encouragement and inspiration to us this morning. One thing have I desired of the Lord, I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Let's kneel for prayer.